So glad to be here. We're preparing for the Lord's Supper. We're going to dive into a story right here in Matthew 9, where we picked up last week, and excited to relate some different things and show some parallels as we observe the Lord's Supper together. And I had to unpack some things. I found out Friday night that size 14 font doesn't look the same in a dimly lit wedding chapel. It was all a blurry, and I'm like trying to remember names and trying to remember vows and rings and all sorts of stuff, make sure I got everything right. I have to read wedding ceremonies. And I just winged it, you know, just went through it. So today I've got bigger print, so you're all right. I got it. All right, we're in Matthew 9. If you got your Bible, turn to it. We're going to look at an encounter with Jesus today. Have you ever felt like you needed something, but you weren't sure what it was? You ever just felt like something's missing, and you thought, but what is it? What is it I need? Or maybe you thought, oh, if I could just get this, and you got it, and then it didn't satisfy. You ever felt like that? We're going to look at a couple of men today that know they need something, and they get way more than they thought they needed. Look at Matthew 9, verse 27 through 31. It says this: as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And when he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. We're going to see today that these two men are pursuing mercy, but they find something different. I want to talk about mercy here and the three things that relate to their pursuit of mercy that really stand out, that will really relate to us here in a second. And you notice first in their cry to mercy, they're crying out. They say this: "Have mercy on us, Son of David." A couple things about this cry, this calling out. They knew they needed mercy. They're not sure why, they're not sure what for. They probably are thinking, we need our sight back. Mercy defined is, we want relief from something. Right? In the biblical sense of the word, when God's bestowing mercy, it's not getting what we deserve. We're not getting the consequences of sin. We're getting God's mercy and grace and forgiveness. And here, they're calling out for mercy, maybe in a sense to have their sight restored. They're going to get more. Notice this, a couple of things. They're asking for that relief, but they're also seeing Jesus as the Son of David, a messianic term. They're seeing that he's a little bit different. If you look at the context of Matthew 9, you'll see that he's been healing a lot. We just read about that last week, healing a woman with issues of blood and resuscitating, bringing back to life a girl who had died. Prior to that, he's calling Matthew. He's teaching on fasting. He's healed a paralyzed man earlier in that chapter. And they're coming to Jesus thinking, maybe, have mercy on us, and emphasizing us, right? We don't want to be left out. We've been left out of everything because we can't get there quick enough. We don't know where they're going. We can't watch. We can't necessarily follow. And so they're crying out, "Have mercy on us." Asking for grace, recognizing Jesus is doing something different than anyone they've ever seen. And that's part of their cry. Listen, this other part of their cry is a Greek word for crying out right here, and it means shrieking. It really means like you would want to cover your ears. It most often describes a raven's call. Monotonous, repetitive, loud, croaking, full of emotion, and you want to shut it up, right? That's how these men are crying out, shrieking, because they need something, and they're not exactly sure what. They know they need mercy, but they're not sure what that means. Notice this about their pursuit of mercy as well. They persevere. They persevere. You ever thought how hard it is for a blind person to follow someone? That's what they do here. It says, as they follow Jesus. In fact, they're not just following Jesus, but Jesus goes into a house. Remember, he's been busy. He's probably tired. His day's been full of people, and he might be escaping. And so as they've followed, their blindness hasn't deterred them. In fact, they've persevered to follow even into the house. I might imagine Jesus would have some bouncers ready for him, right? Jesus needs his rest. We need to give him a break. And they persevere in their pursuit of mercy, right? Because they know they need it. So they persevere. Don't let anything keep you from Jesus. Don't let anything, don't let people, don't let circumstances, don't let anything keep you from getting to Jesus. These men pursued Jesus, followed him into the house, followed him right up till they were face to face with him. And they persevered in that. Notice also about their pursuit. Their pursuit was about fellowship. They shared something in common, their blindness. And that fellowship bound them even closer together, right? They looked out for each other. They shared that fellowship that was unique to them. And they also sought this solution that was unique to their fellowship. They knew and agreed that we're going together. Two are better than one, and we're going to go find Jesus. We're going to go see him. We're going to go see him for relief. And they're going to get so much more. So in their pursuit of mercy, what did they find? They found Jesus. And what does he find? He helps them find their faith. Look at it in Scripture. He doesn't mention what he's about to do. He just says to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And what do they say? "Yes, Lord." There's a transition from Son of David to now Lord. A transition from, oh, we just need relief of our blindness to Lord of our life. When you and I pursue mercy, when you and I persevere, when you and I realize that we have this in common, that we have this fellowship together, that we are in great need, we'll find Jesus and we'll find our faith. Look at what happens as a result of them finding faith. Jesus answers by granting them. He says, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And notice, here's what happened. Their sight was restored. Jesus did it. What they'd been asking for, what they'd been seeking, Jesus did it. He restored their sight. They didn't need any more therapy. They didn't need any more medicine. They didn't need to wait a few days. Their sight was restored immediately. Number two, their life was restored. Because of this encounter with Jesus, their life was restored. Normalcy, as we might see it, right? As we might call it, was restored to them. They had been outcasts. They'd been separate from. They'd been left out. They'd been on the fringe. But now, as seeing, they get to enjoy more benefits than they ever thought possible. They were seeking mercy, found faith. Jesus restored their sight, their life. And look at this, he restored their purpose. He restored their purpose because now when they leave, what do? Do they go back to wherever they've been sitting and asking for mercy? It's probably a common thing you would hear beggars on the side of the road say, "Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." You'd hear it over and over and over, and we might even block it out. That shrieking, we'd just block it out. But instead of calling and crying out for mercy, they are now going throughout the district, it says, throughout the land, throughout that county, that country, spreading Jesus' fame. That's pretty amazing. Talk about total transformation. From blind, I need something, I need relief, to faith, I now have a Lord. Now I'm going to not cry out, not shriek, but now I'm going to spread the fame of Jesus everywhere I go. What a transformation, right? As we go from what do we really need? What is it that will really satisfy? To finding Jesus and him completing us, making us whole, and giving us purpose. as we get ready for the Lord's Supper, I want to bring four things to light as we think about what we're about to do as we partake in the bread and the juice. Look at these parallels from this story. As we come to the Lord's table, we know we need mercy, right? We need mercy. We do need relief. We need relief from the consequences of sin. We need compassion from God Most High. We need peace, and we need rest. When we've tried all those things that don't satisfy, there's Jesus, and we need him. We need his mercy. Number two, when we are living out our life for Jesus' fame and glory, we need perseverance. Jesus talked about in the upper room with his disciples, they were about to encounter something they had never encountered before, opposition on a large scale. They're about to be persecuted, ridiculed, questioned. And they needed to persevere. We need to persevere. As we think about Jesus' body being broken and his blood being spilled, we need to persevere like he did, because he did. And in our discipleship, that's important. We were watching the CrossFit Games a couple of weeks ago on TV. I got inspired, right? You've been watching these guys. They're running all through the stadium. They're working out. They're doing push-ups. They're throwing these balls around. They're flipping tires. They're doing pull-ups. They're doing all these rope things, things that you think, what does that work, right, in your body? Not sure. But I got to thinking, hey, I can do that. Except for the running part, I could probably do that, right? I can do some push-ups. I can do maybe some ab work. And I can remember thinking, all right, tomorrow's the day, right? I just watched the show, just watched this whole thing. I watched them crown this guy champion or whatever it is that gets crowned for doing all the stuff, the fastest, the best, the strongest. And I thought, I'm doing it. Next morning came, here I am, I'm up, I'm at it. Got my two cups of coffee, so I'm really good to go. Did my push-ups, did my core work, did a little Stairmaster, right? Felt good, sweated, got it out. What happens the next day? Two cups of coffee, we're good, right? But whoa, I don't feel like I used to after a little workout, right? I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm not going to do what I did yesterday today. And I'm now 2 days removed from that vision of what the goal was. I'm not persevering in the midst of that. The next day comes around, two cups of coffee. Maybe I can do a little bit today. But now I'm 3 days removed from the vision of what it would look like if I persevered. We have to persevere in our discipleship. We have to persevere in our relationship with Jesus. He did it for us on the cross and won us eternal life. We've got to persevere in our discipleship. Know this, third thing, we need each other, right? We need each other. We need fellowship. We need the church. We need to be here every week, but we also need each other throughout the week. We need someone asking us, do you look more like Jesus today than you did yesterday? We need someone asking us, what are you reading in Scripture today? In our pursuit of mercy, we need it. We all have this in common together, like the two blind men had in common. And because of that, we need each other to encourage, to spur on to good deeds, to talk about the gospel and how great it is and why it's so important for us. We need that fellowship we have around the Lord's table today. And lastly, we need Jesus. It seems like the obvious thing, right? We need Jesus. But there are those times when we don't know what we need, and we need Jesus. We can put our finger on this all the time. We need Jesus. He is our victory. He is our source. He is our life. He is our sacrifice. He is our healer. He is our comfort. He is our rest. We need Jesus. And as we come to the Lord's table, that vision should motivate us of Jesus and his body and blood for us. Jesus on the cross for us. That vision motivates us to need mercy, to persevere, to experience fellowship, and we need Jesus every day. As we think through these things, we hear that story. I hope you're prepared for the Lord's Supper. Pastor Stephen's going to come. I'm going to pray for us. And I want us to stop and think, do a heart check. What do I need today? What part of mercy? What is it about Jesus? What is it about fellowship you might need? Is there something in your heart you can't put your finger on exactly, but you know you need something? You need Jesus.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.